We're talking today with Colin Woodall, of course, from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Washington, D.C. office here at the Summer Cattle Industry Conference in Denver. Colin, you're watching, like the rest of us from afar, some of these things going on this week. And there's been a couple of interesting things. Department of Labor kind of getting a slap down a little bit by the House of Representatives regarding their child labor rules. This is more symbolic than anything, I would think, at this point, right?
It is, but it still sends a very strong signal to Secretary Solis and the Department of Labor that they need to really shelve this thing and never dust it off again. This is something we've been working on for almost a year now. It really was a surprise to all of agriculture, but agriculture mounted a huge offensive to go really take this fight back to the Secretary. And because of that, she announced back in May that she was going to withdraw that rule. This bill that passed the House, Mr. Latham's bill, would just provide a little insurance to make sure that it stays on the shelf and doesn't see the light of day again.
Now, I know that there was a lot of concern. You know, obviously she kept talking about the deal, kept talking about, well, we'll pull back on anything having to do with immediate family, but there was concern that you still couldn't, with your parents' permission, work for a neighbor, work for a local business within agriculture.
There were a lot of concerns along those lines, but the last communication that we had with her is that she was going to shelve the entire proposal. And that, of course, made us very happy. But with everything within Congress right now and within this administration, it's always good to take that extra step to provide a little insurance. And that's what this bill really is. It's just insurance to, one, send that signal that, yes, we are still very interested in seeing this thing die, but also you know, let the Secretary know that she's being watched very closely here.
We had Kristi Noem here a few months back on the dust issue do something similar, yet we still have hanging out there, and for a few more months, the dust regulations by Ms. Jackson.
That's exactly right, and it's also something that we're very concerned about because this could have some definite election year politics tied to it, and there's no doubt about it. You know, we've been fighting her for a couple of years now on all the iterations of this proposal and a lot of the studies that have gone on behind this. You know, she has told us all along that she doesn't want to regulate farm dust. The original proposal that we saw does not include farm dust, but until we see the final regs, she has every opportunity possible to change that. And a key date is going to be November 6th. And what happens on November 6th will have a huge impact on what she potentially does to make that decision that finalizes the rule, which could include ag dust. And that's why we're staying on top of her.
When we start looking at some of the other things rolling up to that election day, a lot of issues, of course, are hanging out there. One that's been talked about on Capitol Hill this week is the death tax issue. Of course, there's a lot of tax issues hanging out there. Some people call it a fiscal cliff. But on the death tax, you've got a Brady bill of Texas that now he indicates in a conference call today, 218 co-sponsors, and that's a key number.
It is, because 218 is over half of the House of Representatives, so that means if the bill came up, it would pass. And the good thing about Mr. Brady's bill is it is for full repeal of the death tax, which is something that we have fought for a long, long time, and we think that is the best solution to provide some certainty and a little protection to our membership. The concern is, on the Senate side, there is going to be a vote this week on a couple of proposals. One of them is Senator Reid's proposal, which actually provides no relief from the death tax at all. And so trying to figure out how we reconcile all of this, all of these expiring cuts between House and Senate is going to be a real key. And I'm afraid that we're going to be in a situation where we don't get a final answer until the lame duck session in December.
So tax issues may well be pushed off to December, right?
I think so. I think these are some good test votes that we'll see in the Senate this week, in the House next week. But at the end of the day, I'm afraid that we won't get that final decision until after Election Day. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to push for even more co-sponsors to Mr. Brady's bill to let the House and the Senate leadership know that the death tax has to be reformed. We have to provide certainty and protection to America's family farmers and ranchers.
Your thoughts on this study that they were releasing today that shows basically death tax does more harm than good when it comes to government revenue.
Oh, that's exactly right, and that's something that we have long expected. It's good to have another independent study that comes out and really supports that. You know, for a long time, proponents, I guess, proponents of the death tax have always said this is just a tax cut for the rich. It's a tax cut for the Paris Hiltons of the world, and because of that, it's going to have a huge impact on the U.S. Treasury. But in fact, what we know is that this is an impact on ranchers and farmers, because on paper, they look pretty rich, but that's tied up in all the assets. We are asset-rich, cash-poor, and that is something we're reminding these members of Congress, that whenever we have money, we don't pay lawyers and accountants to prepare our estate. We have to put that into tractors and hay and hauling water these days in a lot of places in this country, fences, the things that we have to do to maintain our operations.
Let's talk about drought assistance, drought disaster activities. The Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Vilsack, has done quite a few moves. He's kind of moved the deck chairs around a little bit, I guess you might say. But he doesn't have some of the key programs that we've had, because they all expired at the end of 2011. Many of them were very helpful to livestock producers, ranchers included.
Now, that's exactly right, and that's also sparked a lot of the conversation this week. Matter of fact, there were some comments from the Speaker of the House just yesterday talking about trying to move the farm bill as early as next week to try to make sure we get those disaster programs put back in place. His proposal, though, is not for the farm bills as were passed out of the Senate and the House. He's looking at a simple extension of the 2008 farm bill. So I think that we're going to see a lot of conversation among the House and Senate leadership, especially the Ag Committee leadership, on what can be done to try to find an opportunity to get the farm bill moving, but also get these disaster programs in place as soon as possible, because everybody knows they are definitely needed.
Now, you know, one aspect of the 2012 Farm Bill proposal, both the Senate has passed their measure, House Ag Committee's passed their measure, food stamps have really taken on an extra large life. They're a huge part of the bill. You've got a lot of fiscal conservatives now just screaming about the overall cost of the measure, which was, of course, obviously food stamps upped a great deal during the stimulus package days.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think if anything eventually derails the process on this new bill, it's going to be food stamps, plain and simple. And I think all you have to do is look at the House Ag Committee vote, where you saw a couple of very key Democrats that represent several of their colleagues that voted against the bill. And the whole reason they voted against the bill was because of the cuts to SNAP. So how we get around that and reconcile that is a question that I know a lot of folks are looking at. I just don't think we have those answers quite yet.
We heard from one of the House leadership that they didn't even think they had the votes to pass a farm bill, and that's one of the reasons they were not bringing it to the floor. Is that a fair, you know, a statement?
I think it's a fair statement, but I don't think anybody has really put the solid vote count in place. I think what you will find is if we can get a commitment from leadership to get this done, the ag community will whip and spur votes like nobody's business. So I'm not necessarily convinced that it's dead if it comes to the floor. Will it be a fight? Absolutely. But I think the key is going to be managing the amendment process to make sure this doesn't get out of hand, because very easily, when you look at potential amendments that could come up, you could even change this bill so much that the ag community could then come around and say they don't want the bill. And I think that's the one thing that I know is weighing very heavily on Mr. Lucas's mind as chairman of the committee on trying to get this done. You know, everybody really kind of thought that maybe a 2013 bill would be better at the end of the day, but all of the ag lobbyists I talk to, and you look at the community, I think everybody, when they see the success we've had in the House and Senate, they want it done now.
We've gotten so far, we're so close.
Exactly. Let's just get it done. Let's get it off the table. Let's get it implemented so we can look at some other issues starting with 2013.
When you look at this measure, I know that overall the cattle industry, NCBA especially, was pleased with what you saw come out, both Senate and the House in general.
We were pleased with both versions. For the first time, I believe, since the 1990 Farm Bill, we don't have a lot of the competition market structure issues that we have had in the past, things like ban on packer ownership of cattle, country of origin labeling. Matter of fact, we've got a couple of amendments that were added to the House version that hopefully would fix some of those longstanding issues. So for that reason alone, we're pretty happy at the proposals. But also, we have a good conservation title, and we have a good research title, which are two things that the cattle industry benefits from. So we are going to be supportive of getting this farm bill done as quickly as possible.
And obviously, in both measures, they do have some help for livestock producers when it comes to drought or disaster assistance, but they're down as a part of the new direction of the bill.
That's right, and I think that's something, of course, that we're looking at with this discussion of moving an extension maybe next week. We don't want to continue to fight these battles. So the best, really, course of action is to try to get something done as quickly as possible so that we get a new farm bill based on the House and Senate proposals, get a conference committee going on that, but also try to get something that provides access to some of these programs like the Livestock Forage Program, Livestock Assistance Program, because we do have a lot of producers in need right now who could benefit from some of these programs to just maintain their operations.
One last question on the farm bill process. You know, there's been a lot of discussion that maybe there's some exotic ways to deal with this thing if they don't get floor time. You know, what realistically can happen if no floor time is afforded next week?
You know, that is a great question. It's been a part of a lot of the parlor talk in Washington, D.C. the past couple weeks, as you can imagine. But I think a lot of folks are looking at the process that the transportation bill went through. You know, the transportation bill ended up being extension after extension after extension, and eventually it just became a conference committee report that everybody voted on. That is the possibility with the farm bill. If we get an extension of the 2008 bill, it is not out of question that this could then just go to conference, get a conference report, and at that point in time, that might be the first time it goes to the House. That's going to be a tough sell, I think, for the Republican leadership, knowing just how the Democrats are really focused on food stamps. But it is an option.
One other area indicated that we've got some fairly good news from the nation of Taiwan when it comes to dealing with some of these trade issues and access issues for U.S. Beef and U.S. pork.
Early indications are that yesterday their legislature in Taiwan voted to allow the use of ractopamine or to accept meat that has traces of ractopamine in it, which is a good thing because that meets the international standard that was passed by the Codex Alimentarius Commission in Rome just a couple of weeks ago, and it's something that we have been working on for quite some time. So hopefully this will get us over the hump, reestablish some strong beef trade with Taiwan, and also just reestablish the good relationship between the two countries. So we're excited about what this means for beef access.